Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And just a reminder to our podcast listeners that if you go to my website, all kinds of resources are available absolutely free. So I'd encourage you to go to PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Again, PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Anyway, let's move on. Today we're going to be talking about a very important issue, and that, of course, is the issue of faith. It's faith that moves God. And throughout Christian history, every believer has been responsible for knowing Jesus and making him known to others. Our first responsibility is, of course, to be in a relationship with Jesus through his Holy Spirit. This means learning what Jesus purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. Remember, we are justified, we are saved, we are forgiven, we are made whole, we are made righteous, and we are empowered to serve the Lord. It is our faith in the one who saved us, Jesus, who enables us to be healed and made whole in our souls. Now, of course, our faith must be in the Lord and him alone. We are in a relationship with the Lord. We get to know him in a personal way, and with that comes a trust or faith in him and his word. Jesus has called us to be faith walkers. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Our relationship is spirit to spirit. Someone once said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience. You see, it's a difference of perspective. And once that perspective changes, we understand how true that is. We are spiritual. And once we accept it as truth, it changes how we see ourselves and the world around us. The second responsibility is known as the Great Commission, which Jesus gave to his followers and is found at the end of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Notice that I said every believer, not just prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So often we assume that the work of the gospel is for those that are in what we call the fivefold ministry, which is described in Ephesians 4:11. And it says in Ephesians 4:11, and he himself, meaning Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And while it's true that the Lord gave these ministry gifts for the benefit of the church, it's not true that they're the only ones responsible for the message of the gospel. Every believer is responsible and empowered to share the gospel or the good news. Too often, as Christians, we think, let the pastor do it, when in fact, the Lord is calling you to rise up and be his ministers of truth, light, and life. Remember, Jesus told his followers, that's us, in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is a faith statement. Those who heard the message at that time knew Jesus in the flesh and had faith in him and his words because they had a relationship with him. Today, we have a relationship with the resurrected Jesus, the risen Jesus, by his Spirit. And we know that he's alive and has a plan for our lives. So you see, it's no different today than it was then when Jesus walked on the earth. The issue is faith. Will you believe? Faith is central to our salvation, our relationship with the Lord, and their God-given destiny. So what do we mean when we talk about faith? Is faith natural, or is it supernatural or spiritual? Well, let's take a look at the difference between the two. We'll first begin by looking at the dictionary definition of faith. Number one, the dictionary says it's an allegiance to or duty to a person, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions. Number two, belief and trust in loyalty to God, belief in the traditions or the doctrines of a religion, and firm belief in something for which there is no proof or complete trust. 3, something that is believed with strong conviction, a system of religious beliefs. Now, what I've just described here, is really based upon understanding. You know, sometimes we call that intellectual assent. You agree that something is true, but are you willing to trust your life to that truth? That's the difference. For example, it's easier to fight for a principle than it is to live by that principle. I remember someone saying that most people are legends in their own minds. Let me say that again, legends in their own mind. In other words, they picture themselves as strong and courageous in their imagination, but when it comes to action, they fail to live up to the truth. In the second part of Daniel, chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, it says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." You see, a strong Christian is one who knows the truth and does the truth. That's faith in action. Now, for a spiritual definition of faith, we go to the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, states that faith is the substance or the guarantee of things hoped for, the evidence, the convincing proof of things not seen, which are invisible. There is a sense of certainty when we speak of faith in this sense. It is seeing the invisible. Here are some scriptures that talk about the invisible nature of the spiritual realm. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His," meaning God's, "invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." So they are without excuse. Then in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." That's speaking of Jesus. And then we take a look at number 3 in Timothy 1:17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone, who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And then finally, Hebrews 11:27, "By faith," this is speaking about Moses, "he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Spiritual faith means that we believe what God has said in His Word, the Bible, and confirmed by His Holy Spirit. It's a knowing in our hearts that God is true and that He will never leave us nor forsake us or break His promises. The Apostle Paul gives us an illustration of this kind of spiritual faith when he describes the faith of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. And it says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was already 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." You see, from these verses, we see that Abraham did not look at the natural facts of his old age, but he could see the invisible workings of an all-powerful God. The key to true spiritual faith, again, is in 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." It's a simple statement, but so profound. It means that we don't need natural evidence first to believe. We believe, and then the evidence appears the evidence of our faith begins to appear. Christian faith relies upon the Word of God. That's Jesus. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the love of God, the Father. This is our faith position, if you will. Not faith in faith, but faith in Him. Our faith is relational. Oswald Chambers said, "We blunder when we tell people they must believe certain things about Jesus Christ. A man cannot believe until he knows Him. Then belief is spontaneous and natural." So true. You see, we don't need more understanding. We need more trust and reliance upon Him. Here's what the scriptures say in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8. The Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, the human mind cannot understand completely God's mind. No matter how brilliant or smart you are, it can't come close to God's mind. But the good news is that everything that the Lord feels we need to know, He graciously gives us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the following: "The secret things," or the things that are hidden, "belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Remember that God is not influenced by how we think or how we think He should work. His plan is always better than your plan. Faith is our position as Christians. And having done all, the scriptures tell us to stand. Jesus makes it clear in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 that we're going to experience troubles in this life. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." However, at the same time, Jesus makes it clear that He has overcome the world's troubles. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, we can trust the Lord because He always keeps His promises. And that becomes apparent when we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In other words, troubles, trials, and tribulations will fall, but we are called to stand in faith. When we do, you see, we're not responsible for the results. God is, and He will give us the victory. The Lord does not create life's problems, but He will use them to perfect our faith. Because faith is not simply an idea, it's an action. The evidence of faith is found in the action or the deed. And the reality is that your faith has to be tested. See, if your faith has not been tested, then how can you trust in your faith? Are we legends in our own minds? Or do we truly walk by faith and not by sight? I believe the following accurately explains how God takes everyday situations to develop our faith. Number one, if you ask for patience, God will allow trials to develop your endurance. Number two, if you ask for strength, God will allow difficulties to make you strong. Number three, if you ask for wisdom, God will give you problems for you to solve. Number four, if you ask for prosperity, God will give you wisdom and strength to work. Number five, if you ask for courage, God will give you perils or difficulties to overcome. Number six, if you ask for love, God will provide troubled people to help. If you ask for favor, God will give you opportunities. You see, you may not get everything you want, but you will get everything you need because our God is a faithful God. You may ask, what do I do when doubt or fear enters my mind? Well, let's go to the Bible. You may recall the time that Jesus healed a demon-possessed child in Matthew chapter 9. Now listen to what Jesus said and the response of the child's father. This is Mark 9, beginning in verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And then immediately the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." You see, faith is the doorway to seeing God work. But there will be times when we can release faith in a situation. However, if we're honest, there may also be times when doubts begin to enter our hearts. And that's when we have to be open with the Lord. We have to confess our unbelief and ask Him to help us overcome that fear. Doubt, fear, and unbelief are the enemies of genuine faith in the Lord because they prevent us from doing something, from action. And action is the evidence of faith. If we want to strengthen our faith in God, we have to be in the Word of God, the Bible, because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. But we also have to be careful who we associate with. Friends, co-workers, and sometimes even family can be a negative influence if they are not strong believers in Jesus Christ. Of course, it's impossible to avoid every negative person because we're in the world, but the Bible says that we're not of the world. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived, don't be fooled. Evil company corrupts good habits." So to the greatest extent possible, we must try to surround ourselves with people with righteous attitudes and behavior. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 as I close. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things that you need, will be added to you." If you let the Lord guide your actions, you will walk in his blessings. And so I hope this message would stir up your faith, stir you to action. Remember, faith is not just simply something in your mind. Faith is how you live your life. And we're called to live our lives according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so as we walk by faith, what we will begin to see is God move powerfully in our lives. And the anointing that you have that comes from the Lord will begin to manifest itself, make itself seen and present. And so, Lord, I just ask you to bless every listener. Lord, just bless everyone who's watching the video. Lord, that you would just cause them to rise up and realize that you have called them to be your ministers. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you the next time. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.